Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9 and 10 through 13. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. The sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The steward was shrewd, you have to give him that. There's something twistedly admirable about that guy who can turn any situation toward his favor. He must have been a very slippery character. In the end, he slips away, both with the golden parachute and with the begrudging commendation of his former boss. The master commended the unrighteous steward for his shrewdness. That's the offensive part of this parable. But hey, that's just a story, right? Things get really offensive for you and me, when Jesus begins to explain what this parable means for you and me. When he says that this is because the sons of this age are more shrewd in their own generation than the sons of light. You are the sons of light. You are the royal priesthood of God. You are called out of darkness into his marvelous light, the marvelous light of Christ Jesus, sharing the inheritance with the saints in light. And Jesus says, you're kind of dim. You could learn something from slimy characters like this guy, people who serve themselves. Because they do not serve two masters, and they make no bones about it. They live under that very same law that Christ enumerated. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's just the way it is. It's a law of nature and of physics, a law of this world. And this is the great insight that's also explained to us in the Large Catechism. A God means that from which you are to expect all goods and in which we are to take refuge in all distress. So to have a God is nothing other than trusting and believing in it or him with the heart. I've often said that the confidence and faith of the heart alone make both God or an idol. These two belong together then, faith and God. Now I say, whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God. You can see this worship and this faith at work even in the most unjust and unbelieving people of this world. They are devoted to their God. It just isn't the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It is mammon, and it is the love of themselves. The sons of darkness are faithful to their darkness. They don't even dabble in light. And so the rebuke that Jesus speaks to us is the flip side. Why do you who are light, why do you flirt with darkness? Have you forgotten your Sunday school stories, the examples of the children of Israel, as we'll hear about tomorrow, who always wanted to mingle the Lord with Baal and Asherah and Molech and the golden calf? The unjust steward is shrewd and single-minded in securing his future. We should learn this shrewdness from the sons of this world and apply it instead to the true riches, the eternal things that we may keep forever with many friends. But we sons of light are often better imitators of their darkness. Repent. Take heed. If you think you stand, lest you should fall. Now it may seem funny today then that we just sang, "What is the world to me?" when we recognize that we are dim sons of light. Jesus alone has not been our treasure. We have not been content with the higher good or highly prized Christ as our wealth. We have complained about not having enough. We have felt the need to brag lest no one would notice us otherwise. And we do have the feeling that we deserve better always. So this hymn, maybe, is just a lie in our mouths. But we sing it, dear Christians, precisely because these things are true, even when we are not. We sing this kind of a hymn as a confession against ourselves, against our dim faith, against our many idols. It's a confession of what should be and what truly is, that mammon fails, that God does not, and that we are not able to serve two masters as we are often trying to do. We believe. That's why we say, "Help our unbelief, Lord." It should be encouraging to us then also to recognize that the sons of this world are only devoted to the demanding God, mammon, which fails. How much more should we, sons of light, be devoted to the true God, our Creator and Redeemer, who is so opposite? He freely gives all things to us. Our Lord does not reluctantly recognize the shrewdness of a steward who forgives debts for his own benefit, but it is the good pleasure of our God to send his very Son so that debts may be forgiven at his expense and gladly. Our Lord is not a businessman who counts the cost. What pleases him isn't profit and judgment, but it is mercy and grace. He is the God who justifies the ungodly at his own expense. So then, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. If we doubt, if we pursue other gods, he is still the true God, and he is the one who has given up his Son for us. He cannot deny those whose cause he has taken up, who are now joined to his cross through holy baptism. Christ suffered once for all for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring even us to himself and to God. And baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Your appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a bright light to foster in ourselves, to return to always when we are dim. It's the light of faith. And when our wealth fails, when our loved ones are gone, and when our bodies do at last return to the dust, we will still have the forgiveness of sins. From this, then, we can learn both to declare and to really believe it. What is this world to me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.